Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following program contains medium coarse language and traces of nuts. A Rational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us.
Live from the World Science Festival in Brisbane, this is A Rational Fear.
Tonight, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has announced an audacious net zero plan which includes no working light bulbs at the Gabba by 2030. And it's been revealed that Martian soil may have all the nutrients to grow rice. Move over, Mars rover. The next vehicle to go to the surface of Mars will be a sushi train. And samples of an asteroid collected by the Japanese probe Ryugu have tested positive for a component of RNA. Less surprising, the asteroid also tested positive for HPV. Everyone's got it. Live from the World Science Festival in Brisbane, this is A Rational Fear!
This is A Rational Fear.
Welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former head of the CSI Rose Department of Compromise, Dan Illich. And this is the podcast that laughs in the face of humanity's biggest challenges. And we are at the World Science Festival in Brisbane. I have no idea why. They let us come. Let's just call it an experiment and we'll move on. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. Not content with making jokes on stage, she decided she wanted to join the jokers in Parliament. It's comedian and former candidate for the Greens, Mandy Nolan. Tonight, Mandy, you're going to be talking about conspiracy theories. What's your favourite?
My favourite would be when someone put on the community Facebook page where I live asking for a diet of how to get the trackers out of the meat that's at Woolies. So, yeah, I love that one.
All right. Now, you would have seen her on The 100. You would have seen her on Would I Lie to You. You would have seen her on Question Everything. But to anyone under the age of 30, she provides the moral authority that is mum on TikTok. Please give it up for Mel Buttle.
Woo! All right.
Mel, you're going to be talking through science and maths as they are a core part of the STEM education system, but are they necessary?
No, not at all. No.
And he is one of Australia's most powerful satirical comedians, which is why the government tells the ABC that he can only perform once a fortnight for 2 minutes at a time. From 7:30, it's Mark Humphreys. Mark, if the government were allowed you to perform once a week on the ABC, what would happen?
Oh, the columnists at News Corp would lose their mind.
And here
you mean
is your...
They haven't lost their mind?
After the New South Wales election, they've lost nearly everything. Oh, look at the... Oh, yeah.
All right.
This is the insider's audience I've come to love.
I'm so glad there's no disgusting, pig-like, filthy News Corp columnist sitting on this very panel tonight. That's
oh. Oh, that's right.
Oh, we forgot. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You let me into your little lefty conference.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've always thought you were a mole. All right, here we go. Our next fearmonger has a very particular set of skills that she has acquired over a very long career, skills that make her a nightmare for undiscovered planets. She's discovered more planets than any woman alive or dead. She is Jessie Christensen! Hey! Dr. Jessie Christensen, my mistake. The good doctor, tell us, if you're a planet out there, what's the best way to stay hidden?
Well, I think we're going to hear about some gas stove controversy tonight, and most planets that we found have a lot of gas, so I would just say dump that gas as fast as possible.
Yes, yeah, good policy everywhere. Dump that gas, yes. And when it comes to science and Triple J, there's only one man that comes to mind, and that's Dr. Carl. And our next guest has met Dr. Carl. It's Lewis Hobber.
Lewis Hobber.
Is this true? You've met Dr. Carl?
I have met Dr. Carl, but he has face blindness, He hasn't remembered me once.
That's right. Prosopagnosia or something like that?
Dan, we leave those sorts of words to the side.
Also up on stage tonight, we've got DJ Dylan Bain from the News Fighters podcast. Coming up later in the podcast, we're going to be grilling Jessie about aliens and the most affordable places to buy a home in the universe. But first, here is a message from this week's sponsor.
Irrational Fear and Audible presents David Attenborough reading the AR6 report from the IPCC, uncensored, unplugged and unhinged.
Human activities, principally through emissions of greenhouse gases, have unequivocally caused global warming. You see, I told you. I fucking told you all.
Hear the moment the BAFTA award-winning naturalist's brain explodes.
With global surface temperatures reaching 1.1 degrees centigrade.
How many fucking documentaries do I need to fucking make?
Experience the frustration of someone who's given their life to the pursuit of truth in the face of unbridled capitalism.
Deep, rapid, and sustained reductions in greenhouse gas emissions would lead to a discernible slowdown in global warming within around 2 decades. Discernible? I'll be dead in 2 fucking decades. How about I give you all a discernible reduction in me?
It's what could be David Attenborough's last great audiobook.
Oh, fuck it, that's it. I'm getting into crypto.
Now available on Audible. Download the app and start listening today.
The only podcast made entirely by artificial intelligence. A rational fear.
This week's first fear, the culture wars are evolving. No one does culture wars like Americans, and now there's a new front you can enlist in. You're probably familiar with all the other culture wars and how they kind of break down the middle of kind of political boundaries, left versus right, Democrat versus Republican. For instance, you're either in favour of guns or you're in favour of graduating primary school. either you're in favour of universal healthcare or you're in favour of selling a kidney to pay for a Band-Aid. Either you think masks will help curb COVID-19 or you think drinking bleach will. But there's one thing that both of these groups can agree on, and that is the solution to most of these problems involves thinking and praying a lot. Now, there is a new weapon in the culture wars, or a new front, and have your lighters ready. It's all about gas, yeah, gas stoves, specifically natural gas stoves. In January this year, when an official from the US Consumer Product Safety Commission made an offhand comment in a podcast that if gas stoves couldn't be made safe, they would consider a ban. Americans on the right lost their collective brains because, like toddlers, if Americans are told not to touch a stove, that's what they want to do. They want to touch it more. You can imagine it, can't you? You know, like, people like on the right going, oh, if the White House comes to my gas stove, they can pry it out of my cold, dead hands. Some of you laughed. But that's what happened. Here's Ronnie Jackson from Texas. He absolutely said that. If the maniacs in the White House come for my stove, they can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Come and take it.
Surely if you're touching a gas stove and your hands are cold, it's already gone.
Yeah, it's too late. Ronnie Jackson, he's from Texas, but he sounds familiar. Where is this Ronnie Jackson guy from again? How do we know Ronnie Jackson?
The congressman and former chief medical advisor to President Trump.
Oh, right, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Ted Cruz even passed a bill, the Gas Stove Protection and Freedom Act, as if gas stoves were some kind of, like, founding father, but was like, but were also an endangered species. And congratulations to everyone in the audience who had gas stoves having more rights than women this year in America. Well done. Celebrity chefs got into the protests and attached themselves to their own gas stoves.
Oh, my God.
In response to the Biden administration's suggested proposal to ban all natural gas stoves, stoves in households, commercial kitchens, I have taped myself to the stove and I will stay taped to this stove until the idea is completely eliminated from everybody's minds. I'll be here.
Nothing says commitment like sticky tape, does it? I think you agree there.
But that'd be great for his dating profile. Ladies, a man who tapes himself to the stove.
What will he do for your love life?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really like if you go to, like, lock the gate or something in Australia where they're handcuffing themselves to, like, Velcro ourselves to the gate. They'll never take us alive, bit pigs.
Almost committed, yeah. This is what they're fighting for, right? So recent studies in the United States and in Australia have shown that gas stoves were responsible for 12% of childhood asthma cases. That's kind of comparable to living with a smoker. And also, when cooking without ventilation, dangerous levels of gas build up in the home, and that is comparable to living with a Sky News viewer. I think I'd prefer the secondhand smoke, to be honest. And let's not forget... Oh, sorry, Mel. Is that okay? Yeah. Right. And let's not forget that natural gas is just methane with a new name, right? It's the product name for gas, you know, much like natural coal, natural crude oil, and natural uranium. Yum, 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 yum. Natural, yum, yum, yum. And here's the thing. Natural gas is 80 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than CO2. It traps heat, but at much greater lengths, but also for a shorter period of time. So next time you fart, please, hashtag keep it in.
Dan, do you know where most of the methane in the atmosphere comes from?
No, I assumed it was McDonald's.
You're pretty close. It's cow farts.
Yeah, it's cow farts.
Yes, the herds of cattle around the world farting all the time.
And
that's
belching,
where the methane
I
comes
understand.
From. Yes. Yeah.
So you're saying we should tape ourselves to a cow's ass, is that
to keep it in.
Yeah. You'll have to pry this cow's ass out of my cold dead hands.
Why did
Nothing weird, but I'm just gonna put my tongue in here.
Lewis, hashtag keep it in. Why didn't anyone tell us that burning fossil fuels in your home could be bad for your health and the environment? It's almost as if there's a group of well-organized rich people intent on selling us a product that kills us. Oh, how retro. Here's the thing, though. This is a crazy thing, right? The American Gas Association says they don't actually even want to sell that much gas. What they're interested in doing is providing the infrastructure to sell gas. What they want to do is get politicians to mandate that gas infrastructure be attached to every home as an option, because that's where the money is, building the stuff. You know, in Australia, that means that's about 5 million homes that have gas pipelines terminating at their houses. But what about Australian politicians? What do they even like gas?
Gas. Yeah, I had to, when I was going with Banty in the Greens, we have to say stop coal and gas a lot, like about 500 times a day. I got to the point where I said, it's so much, I have to stop coal and gas. What have you been doing? I've been stopping coal and gas on and on, like filling up my diesel Jeep. And they've begun stopping coal and gas. I went to an osteopath and he said, I've got to do a manoeuvre and it might actually release some coal and gas. And I know that's why you've got to stop it. Because it's scary.
In Australia, you know, we laughed at the bleach joke before, but, you know... During COVID, I don't know if you remember, this government thought they could stop COVID by building a gas pipeline. The gas-led recovery was something that was designed to stop a respiratory disease. I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
It was only gas to the node, though, it wasn't.
The gas industry isn't taking this lying down. They've seen a lot of this
research come out. So they've got the influencers on board. They're encouraging and paying influencers to post with the hashtag cooking with gas. We've got some wonderful influencers up here who are cooking with gas, which is amazing. And here's a slide from the campaign brief to the influencers. They want to target sub-segments during key moments in time, like summer, autumn, winter, spring. I think what they're trying to say is all the time. Summer. Promising families. You can see, I wonder what they're actually promising these families, like a 12% rise in asthma or total ecological destruction. It's hard to tell. And here are some Australian accounts as well. You'll find some wonderful posts from block contestants. This woman doing gas-fueled yoga. Here she is. You can see her here in the sellout pose. and if you look carefully, she's got very inflexible morals. Don't worry. This person actually isn't real. She's just a stock photo that the gas companies use. It's really, this is the most authentic and engaging idea that the gas industry has had since they released a rap video in 1988 called Cooking With Gas. I'm going to play some of it for you. I should stress this is real. The thing goes for 4 minutes. don't worry, we'll get out of it before then.
Gas!
Cooking with gas.
Cooking with gas.
We all cook better when we're cooking with gas.
Gas is so hot, it's not on when it's off. It's the only way to cook. That's what I was taught. Now, here's a fact you should have to know to pass. 9 out of 10 chefs only cook with gas. Why is that, you say? Can I cook my way? The benefits we have to tell will really make your day. So listen, class, because we're gonna go fast. Here are all of the reasons you should cook with gas.
I cook with gas because I'm in control. The flame could be adjusted.
And look, there are a lot of reasons to cook with gas. It keeps going. Like, poor Olive Hobart just even hates it. She's crying already.
Oh.
I know, Olive. I know, darling. It's okay. It's okay. But I want you to know that... it's a real rap. They're the full lyrics. You can look them up online if you want to. It really exists. They even printed a vinyl. Even the phrase, now you're cooking with gas, it's been around a long time. It's been in advertising for ages. Back in 1939, a gas executive coined it and gave it to... sorry, Olive. I'm so sorry. Bye. Sorry, Olive.
Yeah, because that's her future.
She's noticeably upset about the gas.
I would like the gas wiggles. Bizarre.
Well, I mean, you're from Queensland. You know, there's a character in Bundaberg. He dresses up as coal and he wishes the kids good night on Channel 7. It's just like...
I think that's the mayor. Oh, come on.
Part of my brain went, how do I get the gig? That would be awesome.
So 1939, it was coined by a gas executive and he got it on radio shows, Jack Benny and Bob Hope, and that's where Now You're Cooking With Gas came from, way back in 1939. Ah, 1939, remember that? It was back when CO2 in the atmosphere was only 311 parts per million. The point is, it's taken 80 years... And this is slowly changing, right? The narrative around gas is changing. But what the Electrify Everything crowd need is not more reports. They kind of just need a rap. To do that, we made one. We found some of the same people who were in the 1988 rap. It was hard. Not everyone was available, understandably. Mercifully, it doesn't go for 4 minutes. So let's roll the tape.
Cooking with gas, cooking with gas.
Do you regret making an ad that was cooking with gas?
At first I thought that gas was cool, until I got held back in school. Diagnosed with asthma, low cognition, ADHD. No wonder I get distracted. What's that?
Cooking with gas, cooking with gas.
We've all got problems because we're cooking with gas.
Carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, particulate matter, in fact my favourite's formaldehyde.
Killer substances are entering your brain,
because you're cooking in your house with an open flame.
Cooking with gas, cooking with gas. Our bodies are off because we're cooking with gas.
What's up? I'm a big gas man. Telling politicians to use gas whenever they can, to reduce damages to our bank balance.
Contractual.
We even renamed methane to make it seem natural.
Killing with gas, killing with gas.
Methane accelerates global warming, so we're killing with gas.
Gas.
Killing.
Killing with gas.
That's wonderful.
please give it up for Mandy Nolan. Woo!
Thank you. Something that Dan didn't tell you is that I come from a little town in northern New South Wales called Mullumbimby. Do you know it? Thank you. People there judge me. They go, look at you all up yourself with your registered car. Oh, I know. Driving my immunised children to Centrelink. It's not a big lineup where I am. But you would have seen when I was running last year, I think it was about a year ago, it was a big push because we had a lot of conspiracists. Because where we know them, like I have a friend, that's one, you know, she's a fuckwit, but she's still a friend. And what happens is, like, in a city, like, you don't need to keep, in a small area, you've got to keep your fuckwits close. So she gets freaked out. Like, she'd go to me. She goes, don't get vaccinated. She goes, that's the government trying to give you 5G. And I said, what? And she goes, it's a self-assembling chip, Mandy. It's a gel chip. It comes in and then it goes around and assembles in your body. And I went, are you saying the government's doing this? She goes, yeah. I mean, is that the same government that can't get fibre optic cable to my home? That government. I went, you're fucking talking them up. Yeah, I'd be really impressed. I was so impressed because I thought I'm going to get all the vaccinations because I live in a regional area. Coverage is shit. And I thought next time I come out for a campaign, I can go like tether to my tits. Like, I'll be the human example of connectivity. Like, come on. But this particular friend gets freaked out. And I drove in the other day, and you know when you see, like, I saw, like, a big plume in the sky, and I went, oh, fuck, the chemtrail people are going to be busy today. Because she would freak out every time I put a picture of a cloud, because I can see there's a lot of menopausal women here. And when you reach an age where you see a cloud and you went, oh, fuck, I have to photograph that. People will want to see that on Facebook. Which is ironic because the sky is like the original fucking internet. We can all see it. Hard to comment on. And so every time I put a cloud up, she's straight on. She's bang on it going, oh, my God. She goes, that's not a cloud, Mandy. That's a chemtrail. And I have to say, like, she didn't study kind of... She's not working for the bomb. She didn't study meteorology or, you know, I think she did massage at TAFE. She didn't finish. And she's always going, that's a cloud, you know, that's a chemtrail. I said, what do you think is happening? She goes, oh, that's the government spraying us. And I said, why? She goes, oh, to dumb us down. And I'm like, well, that would be a waste of spray. You've got to love, though. This is all true. You've got to love the confidence of a community. Like where I live, like there's 3,000 people probably max sort of living in the little region in the country town. And you're going, that we actually think we're being sprayed. We're that subversive. The government's like, oh, fuck, get in the plane again. We're going to have to, come on, Barry, we're going to have to fucking spray Mullumbimby again. I just wish, like, I've lived there for 20, 30 years and people aren't big believers in the chemicals, you know, as far as deodorant, etc. And I understand that, I do get it. But sometimes in summer I think, fuck, what are they spraying? Could they just put some Rexona in there? thank you.
So good. Among us, what's up with the conspiracy theorists in Australia? Like, are we seeing more of them because of social media, or are there actually more of them, do you think?
I reckon there's actually more of them. There was a New South Wales election. I was at the polls, sort of handing out, and there's some batshit crazy people that are there. There was one guy, and he was like, they're handing out for the kind of completely... One guy's theory was, and this is his theory, we're going, what do you do? He wants to do logging, but he goes, what do you do about the koalas? He goes, you take the koalas out, cut the forest down and put the koalas back on the stumps. And he told me he worked for 30 years in biowarfare. And I went, you fucking did not. But he got 8,000 votes. Wow. In my electorate.
He got 8,000 votes?
Oh, maybe 5,000. I just added a few extra. I did
Does
my research.
Do you think biowarfare is taking koalas out of forest and cutting it down and putting a koala back? Like, maybe he just doesn't know what biowarfare
is. Oh, where I live amongst the hippies, that fucking is biowarfare. You touch a koala, it's done. Yeah.
But, you know, koalas have got chlamydia, so throwing koalas at your enemy is a good way of
That's
doing
right.
biowarfare.
Catapult.
Yeah, yeah.
But what worried me during the pandemic is that it made me think that actually maybe we are all conspiracy theorists. We're just waiting for the global event to unlock it in us. and so that we all might have something that actually is our sort of, our personal conspiracy theory.
Well, let me ask you though, like, what is a conspiracy theory that you think, sure, right now it's crazy, but if it was to be debunked and to be true, you would go, oh, yeah, I knew that all the time. No, is there one in particular?
I like the "there's no such thing as Australia" conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Have you seen that one? There's a bunch of people in America who just don't think Australia's real. So be prepared for that to come through. Because I reckon I've come around a bit on aliens. I must admit,
aliens are real.
How do you mean you've come around on aliens?
I didn't much like them a while back. But I've met a few face-to-face. They don't need to go back to where they came from.
Basically, what happened is that they took the cows up into the thing and you were attached. So.
I know!
Bessie! No, talk to me, because ever since the footage has come out of all the pilot footage in the New York Times stuff, I'm like, oh, no, they're real. They're real and they might be here.
They're not here, but they're real.
We'll talk to Jesse more about aliens.
What about the lizard one? I love that there's the lizard people and the royal family are lizards. Mm. I just think yep. Anna Kerry Packer was a lizard, and I went, fuck, he was.
He was a lizard.
Yes.
I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist because I've maintained for many years that there was a 2-week period in the 90s where Richard Wilkins wore an eye patch. There's no photographic evidence, but I remember.
All right, please give it up for Mel Battle, everyone.
This is a rational fear.
All right. Hypothesis: science is slightly cooler than maths. Equipment used for the experiment: my brain. Method: thinking and some googling. Let's try and impress Jesse. results. Here we go. Science is defined as the pursuit and application of lighting small bits of paper with your Bunsen burner without the teacher noticing. Whereas maths can be defined as, I don't know, some shit about the area of a rectangle. Who gives a fuck, honestly? But both rely on logical investigation to solve problems. But maths differs from science because in maths you would need to provide your own fire-starting device. There are unfortunately no Bunsen burners in maths or excursions or anything cool ever. The most dangerous thing in a maths classroom is the teacher's coffee breath, followed closely by the wrongly named compass. This tool can be used to stab holes in your eraser, engrave your name on a desk, or make threats to other children. It is alleged that the compass can be used to draw circles also. Sounds like a job for tracing around a cup to me. Big compass. That's just one of the many differences between science and maths. Both are often described as being used to prove observations and model physical process. Maths can also be described if 3 equals B and 4 equals A, what does X equal? I don't know, mate. I'm over here in science learning about how not to get pregnant. Seems a little bit more important, doesn't it? Let's throw maths a bone. Sure. Maths is older than science, okay? Big whoop. Not everything old is good. Take my mum, for example. She thinks that Instagram stories are being personally sent to her. She says things like, carpet call keeps sending me photos of rugs on my phone. No, they don't. This is a quote from Darwin. A mathematician is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't even there. Oh, boom, roasted maths, cop that. Maths teachers walk home at 5 p.m. with huge old headphones on, eating a cheese stick, even though they're in their 30s. Science teachers, however, own a car and are often able to produce evidence of a partner. Maths teachers have been replaced by Google and they know it, right? I'll prove it to you. Here we go. So, you know, in maths, you remember back in high school maths when from about year 8 to year 10, you just spent like every day on triangles, all day was triangles, just triangles coming at you, every triangle, outside of a triangle, inside, what, you know, what's the angle of a, non-stop triangles, right? Maths teachers, they just love triangles, right? And I checked out of maths. You might have picked up a bit of anger there towards maths in my my opening remarks. I didn't like maths. So what I did was I just gave up and I didn't have any interest in maths. My maths teacher called me out. She goes, Mel, I can see that you're not doing any work and you've got a test coming up. And we're doing like, I don't know, the angle thing of a triangle. She goes, you are going to need to know this. This is a life skill, okay? And I was in year 10, I was very bold. I said, sorry, Mrs. Muzumeci, I don't mean to disrespect you or your subject area, but what we're doing now with the angles of the size of a little fucking triangle is never going to be part of my life. She goes, oh, isn't it? Isn't it just? This is what they all love to do. They love to give you an example, don't they, maths teachers? They love to go, let me give you an example of when you would use this, right? And the example is always exactly the same. This is the example that they give you. Ready? This is what Mrs. Muzumeci said. Okay, Mel. You are doing some renovations on your house. And there's a little triangle-shaped gap in the tiles in the bathroom, yeah? And you need to tell the person at the tile shop what size triangle you need to put in that little tile-shaped gap. And you don't want to buy a whole square metre of tile, do you? No. You just want to go down to the tile shop and you want to measure the little gap and work out the exact size and tell the person the exact size triangle-shaped tile that you need. And you won't be able to do that, Mel, unless you pay attention to what we're doing now. Let's jump back to reality for just a minute. That sounds like a problem that can be fixed by putting a bath mat over it. Number two, if I can't afford a square metre of tile, how the hell am I paying for these extensive renovations? I think we've got bigger fish to fry. Number three, I also know that if I need a very affordable square metre of tile to have a practice cut on to get my triangle right, I can just go to Frank Walker National Tile and for $19.95 get a square metre of fully imported Italian porcelain. Finally, and I will leave you on this, if I'm ever doing maths in a bathroom, oh, come on. There's only one type of maths that we in showbiz do in a bathroom, and that is how do you split a bag into three lines for four girls? Mel Buttle, thank you so much.
Mel Buttle.
Irrational fear. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fearmongers, is there something in school that you'd learned that that you've never used as an adult?
We, in year nine, for some reason, we had four science teachers in the space of a month. Something, it was like the drummers in Spinal Tap. They all just kind of, something happened to them. And I remember on the third or fourth science teacher, he came in one day and said, it was his first day with us. He said, "Now, guys, I don't know what's going on here, but I get the sense I'm not going to be here very long. So, if I am here for only one day, I'm going to teach you how to memorise the first 20 elements of the periodic table." And he taught us this mnemonic, which was H, Healy, Bebkinoff, Nina, Magalsips, Clarke. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen. You know, so, you know. And so he was only here for one day. I couldn't tell you anything else about the 3-4 years I did of science, but I can give you those 20 fucking elements.
Yeah. And you've like never used that as an adult?
I mainly use it on game shows and panels, really.
Mandy.
I found, I think it was geography, and we learned the 3 different types of rocks.
Literally was going to say the same thing.
Sedimentary.
Who has ever done this?
Yeah.
Metamorphic.
Igneous.
Yeah.
Huh.
Everybody knows. Yes.
What about conglomerate?
Oh, is that a rock?
No, we didn't get conglomerate. I'm sorry, that's out.
What about Dwayne Johnson? Sorry.
I think conglomerate sounds like something you get when you've got IBS. the older people laugh.
I like that. I feel like that should be how all schooling works, is teachers become like travelling theatre troops. And every teacher just does one day at each school. And they go, here's the one thing you need to know.
Yeah.
And then they move on.
That's it.
I mean, as a student,
yeah,
every day you're like, who are we going to get today?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Something vaguely apocalyptic. This could be the last day.
Yeah. What would be that thing? My thing would be, please pay your taxes. That would be it. Is there one thing that's missing from the school curriculum? That
I think it's how to talk to tradesmen.
How else you get that title? If you can't talk to the tradesman, you need to drop
exactly.
Your title.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's
you
like...
You can learn French, German and tradie. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could talk to a tradesperson in France. Oh, bonjour, monsieur. Bienvenue. Entrez. But useless in Australia.
Useless. How many coffees? Do you have to let them use the toilet? Do they bring their own water? I don't know. When's that covered off?
Mm. Well, hang on a second. I think I can hear something. Oh my god.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's quiz time. So please welcome to the stage the man whose career is going so well. He's performing his own intro, Mark Humphreys.
Wow. Oh. Thank you. Thank you for that generous introduction, whoever you were. Yes, it is quiz time, and we've got some fabulous contestants on stage tonight. Would you please stand up and round of applause for our contestants? So we've got a series of questions. Some of them are vaguely science-related, some of them with more of a political slant. And the rules are very simple. I'll read out the question and a series of possible answers. If you could wait till all the answers are read out before putting your hand up, because that's where all the jokes are. Okay, all right, we ready?
Yep.
Question one. If all the climate modelling shows that we should open 0 new coal mines to avoid certain death, how many new coal mines would you open if you were the Queensland government? Is it A, 0, B, 0, C, 0, or D, 18? Anyone? Yes, Mandy?
I know this one. I think it's D18. It's a donation pay only one, so it's 18.
18. 18 is correct. Well done, Mandy.
And since the Queensland government's paying for this gig, as many as they want.
Oh, right. That invoice is going to take a while to go through. Yes, Mel, if you could sort of bulk invoice for the two of us. That are...
Much like a miner, you just keep digging down, don't you?
Let's move on to question two, shall we? Question two. How often is a 1 in 500 year flood?
I see what we're playing here. You're actually doing Pointless.
Oh, no, you're going to get like our podcast cancelled.
Lewis, please. So how often is a 1 in 500-year flood? Is it A, 1 in 500 years, if you ask Scott Morrison? B, 1 in 1,000 years, if you ask former New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet? C, 1 in 3,500 years, if you ask Barnaby Joyce? Or D, seemingly once every fucking week these days?
I'm really tempted just to go D again.
I lived through it. We got 2 in a month.
Two a month?
Yeah.
So we'll go with...
it's not quite every week, is it?
It's not quite every week, so I guess
it's... Is fortnightly an option?
Yeah. I think we'll go... Well, except fortnightly. Well done. Thank you, Mandy. Round of applause for Mandy.
Oh, wow. I love that I'm winning this bogus quiz.
what are we playing for, Mark?
He's scoring, Mandy. He's right. Yeah. Every time you get it right, you're going to win this quiz.
I think I need to step back because I feel like I'm like hogging the ant.
No,
no, no.
I've got a question for Jesse. You know, you live in LA area. You would have experienced some wild weather lately. What's it been like for a place that never rains to be raining so much lately?
Oh, okay, yeah, wet stuff keeps coming out of the sky every day you get up and there's more wet stuff coming out of the sky. It's really confusing. How does the sky hold that much wet stuff? Where is it coming from? Again and again.
Have you been filming it and going, these fucking cunts? Question 3. According to the Reserve Bank estimates, what is the level of inflation expected to be this year? Is it A, $8 blue tick, B, $10 iceberg lettuce, or C, $250,000 Bureau of Meteorology name change? What could it be?
That's hard. It's a could be any of them.
Can I find a friend? I think I have someone who works at the Bureau.
I'll accept that. Bureau of Meteorology name change. Well done, Lewis.
I totally forgot that story happened.
All right. Clive Palmer. Yeah.
Still popular around here then?
Yes. All right. Clive Palmer spent $100 million to get one senator elected last year. What is that senator's name? Is it A, Dagnabbit? B, David Mamet? C, Ralph Babbitt? Or D, his real name gets laughs. Or D, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit? Anyone?
Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
It is Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Well done, Dan. So just to recap, that's Mandy 2, Lewis 1, Dan 1. Isn't this thrilling?
Yes, I don't actually know their name. Which one was it?
It was Ralph Babbitt.
Oh, was it?
There's another question here about... Oh, here we go. There's another Ralph Babbitt question. So before entering Parliament... It's all Ralph from here, really. Before entering Parliament, United Australia Party Senator Ralph Babbitt thought... It's his name.
It sounds like something you get, doesn't it? Like, oh, fuck. Got a little bit of Ralph Babbitt.
That's all Clyde Palmer got.
Oh, yeah!
That's good. Yeah. All right, before entering Parliament, Senator Ralph Babbitt thought the crossbench was A, the seats between the government and opposition, or B, a piece of fitness equipment.
I don't reckon he's seen fitness equipment, so I'm going to say...
We'll give it to Ralph, yes, okay. Thank you, Lewis.
Ralph knew, yeah.
All right, we'll say that he knew what that
was.
Is
he a real estate agent on the weekends, or is that someone else?
He was a real estate agent, yes.
But he works there on the weekends, I'm pretty sure. He got in trouble for it recently. They were like,
"Oh, really?
You can't have another job, Ralph." And he's like, "Oh, I just help out on the weekend."
Yeah.
What's amazing is going from real estate agent to politician. He went from like second most despised profession to most despised profession.
Yeah. When a real estate agent turned up recently at the like turf rally, you were like, "Oh, fucking course."
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a couple more questions. And this one's a little complicated, so you'll need to listen very carefully. All right. Now, in 2017. Then Water Minister Barnaby Joyce approved an $80 million purchase of two water licenses. These licenses belonged to a Cayman Islands-based company set up by Angus Taylor, who subsequently became Australia's energy minister. Keeping that in mind, how many staffers has Barnaby Joyce impregnated?
Oh, my God.
One is correct. Yes, well done, Dan.
That we know of. Allegedly.
Exactly.
I'd actually decided I was going to run for politics. I said, look, it's not about climate change. I just want to have sex with Barnaby Joyce. No. Just so I can make him lie back and go, you know, lie back, Barnaby, and think of New England. Just so I could use that dad joke. And then I'd walk off and leave him there.
Now, we've reached the final question, and would you believe if I... It's all tied up. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's a who am I question, so who am I? Until recently, I was a hairdresser and extremely amateur welder. Some of you are ahead of me. I took on these jobs despite already having a job. I also took on five other jobs of my colleagues while having this job. I recently took on a global speaking job, despite the fact that I, again, still have a job. Despite all these jobs, I will be best remembered for my catchphrase, "That's not my job." Who could it be?
3, 2, 1.
Scott Lamont.
And the audience are our winners tonight. Well done. Yay! Thank you so much. Thank you.
Excellent. Our interview guest this afternoon is one of Australia's biggest and best brains. They're a legit NASA scientist.
Spent
4 years on the Kepler program. Our next guest has made it her mission to organise the universe. She's spent 10 years building and running the NASA Exoplanet Archive. She's a superstar all week here at the Brisbane Science Festival, playing to sell out crowds all week. We're lucky enough to have her here. Please give it up for Dr. Jessie Christensen. First of all, let's get some basics out of the way quickly. Mars, it's not named after the planet Mars, according to your Twitter. All caps here.
Yes, no, my mind was blown, genuinely blown. Like, all caps on Twitter, Mars bars are not named after either the planet or the god. They're named after a dude named Mars.
Huh.
I feel robbed. It's just some guy named Mars and they're Mars bars.
Let's also get back to planets in our local area. Pluto, it's not coming back as a planet?
No, sorry. I wasn't old enough to vote in the 2000 referendum, and I also wasn't old enough to vote in the 2006 vote for whether Pluto was a planet or not, but they demoted Pluto. It still exists. It's still out there. They've just called it... There's a different bucket that they've put it in called dwarf planet. So there's planets and dwarf planets. It gets to be the first of its kind.
Right.
Can you say that anymore? Like, don't you have to use another word?
I believe the correct term is little person planet. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where Andrew Denton lives now. He's a friend.
He was a friend.
I can't, because I know so little about science, I can't tell if you're joking. Was there a vote?
Yeah. There was a vote, yes. At the International Astronomical Union in 2006, all of the astronomers got together. They argued for 5 days. Most of them went home and whoever was left voted. And they demoted Pluto in a vote.
Wow.
You said you weren't old enough. So how old do you have to be to vote on the planet?
Old enough to be an eminent enough astronomer that you're allowed into the International Astronomical Union. I was still a student.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's serious business.
So is there any chance, if we campaigned hard enough, we could get it back?
I mean, technically it would be allowed. And actually there's a bunch of astronomers who would be on your side, the ones who had to leave.
Let's storm the Capitol, boys!
Did any of those astronomers care that they ruined the way I remember planets? My very easy memory jingle saves us naming blank, the end.
Many astronomers were very sad, and I apologise to everyone who's personally affected and traumatised by this decision.
How do you feel about Pluto? Like, do you think that Pluto should be a planet?
Well, if you look at where...
For Pluto.
Okay, let's talk about it. So you have the Sun and you have the 8 planets that are going around the Sun. They're all orbiting the Sun in circles and in the same plane. It's like a big pancake. And they're all circles that get bigger and bigger and bigger out from the Sun. Pluto is on a big angle and it's on a big... oval-shaped orbit. So it actually looks quite different from the planets.
And I love it. It feels like me.
Exactly. And you don't want to be lumped in with all the normies. So what happened was we started finding more and more of these objects that were inclined and on these big oval orbits, and they were like, are they planets or are they something new? So that's why they came up with this new designation, dwarf planet, and Pluto just got kicked out of the planet club and into the dwarf planet club. I understand scientifically that classification. I think for historical purposes, we should have just left Pluto as a planet just because it's just created a big mess. No one's happy. The dog's not happy. The textbooks aren't happy. It's just bad. It's bad press.
Your work in exoplanets. So for everyone who doesn't know, like me, what is the term exoplanet about? What does it mean? Just so we can get a definition out.
Yeah, so these are planets outside our solar system. Mostly we find them around the other stars in the sky, but we have also found rogue planets, free-floating planets that are just out there floating in between the stars, probably got kicked out of planetary systems. Who knows why?
Are they sovereign planets?
Independent.
Sorry.
The great chemtrails, yeah.
Right.
Let's talk about JWST.
Sure.
The James Webb Space Telescope. No, we shouldn't call it that, right?
Right? I'll call it JWST.
JWST, all right. 15 years ago, it was like hard to find an exoplanet. Now it's a lot easier. How has JWST changed that for you?
So JWST is more of a characterization instrument than a discovery instrument. Right. So Kepler, for instance, discovered thousands of the planets in its survey. But what JWST will do is allow us to look at each one of those planets in exquisite detail and actually measure their atmospheres and look at their surfaces in a way that we couldn't ever do before.
Yeah, and how has that changed? How has that changed your work, like kind of what you do?
Yeah. So at the Exoplanet Archive, what we do is keep track of all of the planets that we found outside our solar system and everything we know about them. And so far, we've mostly only known really basic stuff, so kind of how big they are, their temperature, not much more than that. But with JWST, because we're going to find so much more information, we're actually building a whole new environment at the archive to put all this new kind of atmosphere information. So what molecules and what layers are in the atmosphere and what's the wind speed and is there cloud or not?
Are they made of coal? Are they going to save us? All that sort of stuff.
Yeah. We're like the Bureau we're measuring the weather on these planets.
Yeah. Have you found any that you liked? That you're like, oh, that looks nice. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, yeah, I'd live there.
No. Literally every planet we've found so far will kill you painfully. Huh. Mostly slowly, but definitely painfully.
I mean, this one's doing that to all of us already.
Right. Yeah, frankly, there's an argument about whether Earth is habitable.
Huh. Earlier in the show,
kill.
We were...
I'm giving up keto. Fuck this. Who cares?
Yes!
Wow. I had 5 kids. Not a good idea. But wouldn't it be a bit like, and this is something I thought of, you know, you think of it, do you get really stoned ever and, like, get on the telescope? Because if I had access, I would be fully rolling one up and getting on the telescope and thinking about, I don't know if this is scientific, right?
not yet.
Yeah.
I've never had this opportunity to ask someone before. I was stoned when this happened, right? And I was standing in a shadow, and I thought the shadow happened immediately after the object. I don't know, but is that the future?
Do I need to be stoned right now for that to make sense?
I think it would really help.
Would you like a TikTok account?
Thank you. Anyway, I was just wondering about whether... But do you need to see intelligent life? Do you actually got... Like, could we actually not be able to perceive it? That's a real stoner question, but maybe... Maybe it's far more evolved. Maybe we are but dust. You can tell I've taken acid as well.
So whether or not we would know life when we saw it is not a stoner question. That is a legit, very important scientific question.
Fuck yeah! Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah. We found our new head for the Bureau.
Do you reckon aliens would look at us and go, oh, look what they're doing to the planet and they are killing themselves? I don't think they're very intelligent. Do you think they would rank us quite low?
You know, honestly, it's probably a phase all toddler civilizations go through. The aliens are like, oh, they're at that point. Okay, we'll come back in like 5 million years when they've sorted, when they've discovered renewable energy. It'll be all be great.
We'll all be eating cake with three arms by then. Oh, man, it's so fascinating. What's like the most enjoyable part of your gig every day? Like, what's the kind of thing that gives you a jolly?
I get to find new planets around other stars. So when I first was thinking about astronomy and what I wanted to do was right when they were discovering the first exoplanets. And I loved the planets of our solar system, like that you could go outside and see features like rings and moons and all sorts of exciting things. And I was like, wow, people are discovering those around other stars. I was just like, yes, it's like... There's this phrase you might have heard that we're the generation that was born too late to explore Earth but too soon to explore space. Mm. I get to find new planets. It's so exciting. Like a whole new world that no one's ever seen before. And I'm like, hey, welcome.
And you're like the most prolific woman in finding planets ever.
Yes, yes. It turns out we did the math a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, so I have found 66.
Wow, well done. Wow. All right. Good. And, but, like, that's also... You're in the top 10 of planet hunters, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm sixth in the top 10. I'm the only Australian. I'm the only woman in the top 10.
I love that Jessie comes from a little town near Ipswich. That's what we were talking about before, and she's gone out and found planets. I guess you would if you were living... Sorry.
That's kind of makes sense. You're from Ipswich and you spent... your career trying to find signs of life.
Please, God, let it be out there somewhere.
There'll be a car waiting to take you to the airport.
There's two types of people, mate. There's people who were born in Ipswich and people who wish they were.
Okay.
Please give it up for Dr. Jessie Christensen. That is it for A Rational Fear. Please thank all of our fear mongers today. Lewis, Mel, Harp, Mandy, Dr. Jessie Christensen, Dylan Bain. Big thanks to the World Science Festival, James, Sally, Mal, and everyone who helped us. Absolutely fantastic. Please go see Mandy and Mel and us at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Until next time, there's always something to be scared of. Good night!
A Rational Fear! A Rational Fear! Fear is rational.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.